Welcome to Midweek. Yes. Yes, as you can see, I've brought some friends on stage with me. They are my mad scientists, and we're gonna start this off with a real fun activity. So we're gonna take some cues from our teachers, do a little science experiment to kind of help us understand what this thing, this word catalyst is. So, but before we do that, I think our scientists need a little bit more like getting into the character. Would you guys agree? Okay, yeah. I was thinking, so you guys have a bucket there that I just brought up for you. So if you don't mind just putting that gear on just for safety, you know, we want to make sure that you're safe and, you know, the hair, you know, you got to have hair. And we don't want your real hair to get burned if things burn up. So, but you guys know that oil and water, this is what this is. We already put that together. It doesn't go together, right? it stays separate. So you'll see water and oil here. And so basically, what we're going to do is we're going to try to make this change. So by itself, it's just weird looking, right? It's like looks like pee and water mixed, separated. I don't know. It's gross. But when you add a couple of things to it, you kind of change what it looks like. So guys, if you want to, you just add whatever color you can agree. You guys are awesome, by the way. I think they're ready. Now they're mad scientists. What's going on here, girls? Oh, there you go. Directions. Excuse me. I'm the director. Lights, camera, action. All right. And so, and you guys can start getting your phones out if you want and just take pictures of your friends. Post them later. Yep. If you want to come right up here and grab one, I don't care. That'd be fun. All right. So what we're going to do is a little experiment. You can take the cap off the bottle there in the middle, if you can see it. And then we're going to add some food coloring, whatever food coloring you want. Just add one of them, though. Just choose one. And then squirt a bunch in there. Yeah, squirt a bunch in there. I mean, it's, you know, just let it rip. And so what else we have here? We have these things. We have food coloring. That's going to change a lot too much. That's good. That's enough. And he's like, wah! He's a mad scientist. But we also have Alka-Seltzer up here, and we're going to let you guys go and put that in just at will. Just put that into the bottle as well, the Alka-Seltzer, the little pipe. Yep, just drop them in there, as many as you want, and then we'll see kind of what we're having happen here, and then maybe we'll get some good results. And if we don't get good results, it's not my fault. It's the oil's fault. But anyway, mad scientist, by the way, if you want to do this at home, it's super easy. This is a homemade lava lamp, and it's pretty fun, except you have to buy $7 worth of Alka-Seltzer every time you want to use it. So, and you can put a light on it, and it makes it. So we see what's happening. We see that the Alka-Seltzer is creating a really cool. Who do you think is better? Is this one better right here? Yeah. Oh. All right, what about this one? Is this one better? Whoa! It's settled. It's settled, mad scientists, boys and girls, that this is the winner. So let's give it up for our mad scientists. Thank you so much. You guys can put your gear back. You guys can put your gear back on. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, I can't let you go out in the audience that way. So as you've learned today, we have a thing called a catalyst. And the Alka-Seltzer was the catalyst, right? It made a significant change in what we have. You guys can have a seat. Thank you so much. Let's give it up for the mad scientists again. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about this word catalyst, and we're going to talk about what it means, a major significant change that takes place in your life, and it has to do with your faith. But first, we have to identify what faith is, and so we're going to be talking about a lot about faith during this series, but before we go any further, we should maybe define it for you. So actually, when we use the word faith in the scripture, when we read it, it can mean one of three things. One, it can mean that we could be talking about a few ideas, like faith could mean a set of religious beliefs. So you might say that I have a faith, and here's my religious beliefs sentences or statement that I make. Faith could mean an ongoing relationship with Jesus. When you use the word faith, you might say, I want to grow in my faith or my relationship with Jesus, right? It could also mean that it's a choice to trust God in all the circumstances that might happen in your life. And so you might say, with using this idea, that I have faith, God will work this out for me. Okay, make sense? Okay, we got some ideas out there about what faith is. But no matter kind of what idea you're thinking about when you use the word faith, there's one thing you always have to remember, that faith comes from God. Okay, it is something that is powered by Him, and it is something that is in all of us. We have the ability to trust and to have faith and to take that deeper and to take it away sometimes. And so it's from Him. Just remember that. And the part that we get to play in having faith is in what we're going to do with it. Are we going to use it for good things and for giving glory to God? Or are we going to use it for something else? And so we're going to look in the book of Hebrews today. And leaders, if you're out there today and you're listening, I would recommend for one of your small group goals to read through the whole book of Hebrews this entire month and have your students do that. It's a great book. I love the book of Hebrews, and here's the reason why. When you start getting into the first, second, third chapter, what you're going to find out is it says that Jesus is great. He's greater than the law. He's greater than angels. He's greater than Moses. And he's also greater than any high priest that's ever been talked about. So literally, Jesus is this little Mr. Perfect, right? Okay, so I say that was just for you guys in the social media world. A little miss whatever's taken over, right? Okay, whatever. I don't know. But if Jesus had social media, that's what he would probably put up. Now, and it's not about that he's a perfectionist like those things say, but he is perfect in every sense of the word in his whole life. And if this is the case, the audience that's receiving this letter right now or listening to it is a predominantly Jewish group of people. And they are being challenged to live out their faith and persevere in their walk with God, trusting him no matter what comes their way. Okay, so you could say that the book of Hebrews is meant to be a catalyst for faith for anyone who reads it, right? And so let's see how the author of Hebrews defines faith. You heard Natalie read the scripture. I want you to read it again with me. It's Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And I want you to help me read the underlined words. You ready? Now, faith is in what we and about what we. Okay, that's kind of a weird definition, right? And the second verse says this kind of faith is what the ancients were commended for. It's kind of crazy. They were just like, hey, we have confidence in what we hope for. And we have assurance about what we do not see. Okay? And it also says, by faith, verse 3, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And so, in other words, God's not pointing to anything in his creation to get us to think that he made it and for you to worship. You have to look at creation and see that he made it and that he's the one to be worshiped for making it. Okay, and so the author of Hebrews looks at faith, and he basically is saying it's not just a set of beliefs that we agree to and that we have about our life in our walk with Jesus. It is that, but faith is a confident believing in something. And in this case, it's about who God is, right? And it's even if we don't and we can't see what he is doing, okay? We can't see what's happening. We believe in him, but we don't know that he's there sometimes. But how can you be confident in something you can't see? I mean, that's kind of weird, right? I mean, should you do that? Is it smart to have confidence in something you can't see? Well, I mean, it better be, because if you just take a deep breath real quick, how many of you want to believe that oxygen's not there, right? It's there, right? You can't see it, though, right? And so I know it's not exactly the same, but we can't see God. He is not visible to us. But what we can see is what God has done all around us and the evidence of what he has created. But that takes a belief. That takes a faith that is real. And in the first three verses of this chapter, the author gives one example. All of creation is the main example of the evidence of God. And we weren't around when God spoke everything into existence, right? But we see it. It's here. And we may not know all the details of how it was formed, but we see the evidence of our Creator by looking at creation and believing that it was created by a designer, the main designer, out of his power. We don't believe that the world came into existence by accident, okay? We don't believe that something just accidentally did it for no reason, for no purpose, to lead you to be unpurposeful in your life, and then to die a purposeless death and to return to nothing. We don't believe that. We believe that God created on purpose to give you a purpose in your life and to lead you in a great way in your life to where in the end of your life, you can say by your faith that you led a purposeful life and you returned to something greater. That's far more understanding and reasonable to believe that we came from nothing by accident. And so when we talk about having faith, we're not talking about making wild guesses or believing in made-up stories about God for no reason, okay? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to say this. It's a long sentence, but we're trusting And we're talking about trusting God. That means having an unbreakable confidence and a strong assurance based on our belief and our hope in who He is because of the evidence we see in His creation. Let that soak in for just a second. So we have this unshakable confidence. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, we see this core definition expand even deeper. In faith, when we get into chapter 11 of Hebrews, which we're going to be today, it defines it once again as assurance or trust in God by what is seen in the evidence around us, but it's also in His future promises, which enabled people to persevere. And so it even expands on what He wants to do with it. And the evidence shows up to us in the testimony and life stories of people in the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Scriptures. And they had to endure some really hard things in life, and yet they persevered. So you're going to read along with me in Hebrews 11. I'm going to tell you all of the stories about these people from verses 4 to 22, and you're going to help me tell some of them. So be alert on the screen. We're going to start in verse 4, and then we're going to talk about a group of people. You may know them, you may not know them, but that's okay. And here it goes. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he's dead. That'd be great to be able to be said about somebody, right? That even though I'm dead, my faith still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, snatched up, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. This is kind of funny. It's like, hey, where did Enoch go? I don't know. I think God just took him. Well, that's awesome. Okay. Before he was taken, though, he was commended as one who pleased God. And this verse right here is key, and I want you to help me with it. And without faith, it is what?
Impossible to please God.
Yeah, because anyone who comes to him must
believe that he exists.
Yeah, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Did you catch that? There's some movement now to what our faith needs to be. It's about what we want to do in our love towards God and our belief in who He is. So by faith, verse 7, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. This is a bizarre story. But by his faith, he condemned the world. And so while he was building the boat, people were like, what are you doing? And we're like, there's a storm coming. I'm building a boat. It's going to kill us all. And my family's going to get in it. And so he was saying, you better believe in God or you're going to die. So he was condemning the world through the work that he was doing there, building the ark, and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, did what?
Obeyed.
Yeah, he obeyed and went. He put his feet to walking. And even though he did not know where he was going, he's just like, I'm going. I don't know where I'm going, but God's going to lead me. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him to the same promise. Here's verse 10. Pay attention. For he was what?
Looking forward
to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. They had a different perspective of where they were headed in their life. And by faith, even his wife Sarah, who was past childbearing age, they were both old, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so, from this man and woman, way past their age, as close to death, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. See, all these people, verse 13, they were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. I mean, that's a bummer. They only saw them, kind of envisioned them, and welcomed them from a distance. They had hope that they were coming and that they were there. But here's what they did. They admitted that they were what? Yeah, so this is not their home. Guys, this isn't your home either, by the way. I know it's where we live, but as Christians, we're looking for something different. Verse 14, people who say such things do what? They're looking for a country of their own, something cool. And if they'd been thinking of a country they'd left, then they would have had an opportunity to return, but they didn't. They stayed looking forward. Instead, they were what? Longing for a better country. Sorry. What kind of country? A heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He's not ashamed of them, for he has prepared a city for them. And the list goes on. By faith, Abraham went and when God tested him, offered Isaac, his son, as a sacrifice. He who embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him it was through his son, Isaac, that his offspring would be reckoned, that that's where the promise would come through. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, even if he were to kill his son and sacrifice his son. He said, God will bring him back to life. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Just an old guy just saying, I love you, God, thank you. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, guess what he spoke about? The exodus of the Israelites in Egypt. And he gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. He did not want to be buried in Egypt. He wanted to be buried in Canaan, the promise that God had given to his family. So maybe you're familiar with some of these stories, maybe you're not. But the people reading this letter, they were like, I know those people. Those people are awesome. They confidently put their faith in God, their trust, even when they weren't sure of what was going to happen in their future. And there's more people we're going to talk about in the next few weeks that's going to blow your mind about how many more people are in Scripture that had this awesome confidence in who God was. I want to point out one more interesting thing about this passage, because according to the section of Scripture, faith isn't just about believing, right? It's a faith that actually leads us to action. And the same thing can be said about everyone in this list. They just didn't have a faith in God, like a set of ideas and thoughts. They demonstrated their faith by actively following God with their lives. What did they do? They worshiped God openly. They made sacrifices for God, sometimes their old families. They obeyed God even when it wasn't sure it made sense. They took risks for him when they were asked to. They walked away from their old lives in order to follow God into new ones. They stuck close to God for their entire lives. Even when they messed up really bad, they kept going back to God. See, the book of Hebrews celebrates the lives and faith of these people, not because they were perfect, but because they did something about what they believed about God. They turned their faith into action, and they kept going to God for everything that they needed. They confidently put their trust in him based on the evidence they had available to them. They didn't just trust God with their heads, just know a bunch of information. They actually showed their trust in God with their lives. There's one more book in the Bible we want to look at before we close, James 1:22. It's the book of James. James is the brother of Jesus. James followed Jesus when he was alive. Jesus taught him to love people and to closer to God's heart. He's Jesus' brother. And so after Jesus died and was rose again and left the earth, James became one of the leaders in the church. And he actually helped other followers figure out how to do this better. And like the Hebrew author, James seems to be on the same mission as to help Jesus' followers see that their faith wasn't just something that could live in their heads. It needed to be something different. It needed to show up in their actions. Read with me James 1:22. Do not merely what?
Listen to the word.
And so deceive yourselves.
Do what I say.
So James, he hits right to the point, doesn't he? He's like, don't just listen to what we're saying tonight. Don't just listen to God's words. You have to actually do what they say, if you didn't know that. And that's what faith really looks like. That's what the faith in Hebrews chapter 11 really looks like. It might start in your head. It might start in your heart. It might start as a belief system that your parents handed down to you. It might even start as a feeling that you just kind of love God so much you want to get closer to him. All those things are good. It could have started this summer when some of you said, I'm all in. I want to follow Jesus with my life. I want to get baptized, which means I want to die to myself. I'm going to live a new life in Jesus. Some of you might have done that. But listen, I'm not trying to rush you, but I am trying to get you to the next level. If your beliefs about God haven't turned into a life of activity, showing that you do follow God, that hasn't happened yet for some of you, then the forming of your faith isn't complete yet. The catalyst for change that took place was this in here in this stuff. It made something happen. And your faith isn't there yet. And if you want to have the kind of faith that was described in the book of Hebrews, then action in your life will be the result. I will be able to see it. You will be able to see it. You'll be able to see it in your adult leaders here. They'll do things with you that are just out of the norm. They might notice that you're hurting or struggling. They might get deep with you and say, what's going on? They might pull you aside even though you don't want to. And they might say, I'm going to pray for you. I know something's going on. You don't have to tell me. They might do some really weird things, but it's because they're going to show and demonstrate their faith in God to you. It's because of this kind of faith, this confident assurance in who God is, and a belief that he will show up in your life as you actively pursue him. It's that kind of faith that does this, that it's a catalyst for action and change in your life. I've got a story that I can share. I'm going to share the short part, and then we're going to close. I went to Northeastern State University for 3 years. My senior year before that, I had chosen to give my life to God in front of my youth group and my youth minister. So I was going to become a minister, and I never did. I went to Northeastern State instead and followed this career of an electronic engineer. At the end of the semester, the third semester or third year, I had an opportunity to get an internship working at this huge manufacturing company to make a lot of money, watching a machine shake fruit into bags and seal it, send it down a conveyor belt, put it in boxes, and then real people got to actually stack the boxes. That's what I was working my life towards. Wasn't too happy about that when I figured it out. It's like, I don't think that's a good idea for me to just sit in a big factory and watch a machine do this for the rest of my life to make money. At the same time, I was working at Ace Hardware where Jack and Joy Smay, you'll see a picture of them. 60 years of marriage right there. Great people. I was working for them, and Joy asked me. She was like, so, when are you going to go give your life to God? She was just bold. And I was like, I have? She's like, no. You said you were going to actually go into ministry. When are you going to do that? And I was like blown away. I didn't really know what to say. I thought I was just probably too dumb maybe to get there, to be able to learn what I needed to do to teach people God's word. Had some major insecurities, didn't want to leave home. I was scared. And so I just stuck it out and just kind of ignored my commitment to God. It's because they knew that I had made that commitment, and they asked me that question 3 years later. And I want to tell you that I wish I'd jumped on that real quick. I didn't. I waited for a little bit longer. But on a break in the back of their store, I was reading the book of Acts because they all read their Bibles when they had breaks. And so I read my Bible, I read the book of Acts that summer, and it was back in that little store where I felt God say, it's time. And I was like, okay. So I took a leap of faith, and I quit 3 years of the university and left NSU and decided to go to Bible college. And guys, it was crazy what happened after that. Couldn't believe it. I applied for a scholarship for my church, and guys, they paid for my room and board. For all the years that I was there, they said, we'll pay for it, but you got to make 3.5. And I was like, holy cow, there we go, I'm scared. Not only that happened, I got extra work from my friend's parents. They found out that I was getting ready to do this, and they paid me to paint their fence. They paid me to mow their yard. They didn't have to, because they could do it themselves, but they hired me to do it after I worked for Jack and Joy at the hardware store. And then even another youth minister found out that I was doing this, and he asked me to come over, and they asked me to build a deck for him. So throughout the whole summer, I had 3 jobs going on. God was providing so much for me, guys, that I paid for my car payment and my insurance for a whole year. That's how much money. My car payment wasn't cheap back then. I came from a poor family, so I knew my parents weren't going to be able to help me. But God provided in so many ways that all of that happened, and guess what? Every year I had more opportunities and more opportunities to create income so that my whole schooling was completely paid off by the time I graduated. That's awesome. And you guys that go into Ozark, that have been to college, you know what those expenses are like. God did something incredible for me in my life. And listen, I didn't start out with much faith. I was like, this is not going to go well. I struggled all the way through believing in what God could do in my life. But God was faithful even when I was weak. So you might be here tonight, you might be going, okay, Chris, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really wanting to give my life to God. Maybe you're here and your beliefs are not matching your actions. And they really haven't, your belief in God hasn't made a big difference in your life. Maybe you're here and you're following Jesus and you're all in and you're saying, Chris, show me the next step. I want to get involved more. I want to build my relationship with him better. No matter where you are, here's what I pray. I pray that you're persuaded to learn more about Jesus tonight and that you would consider taking a step of faith towards him. Maybe you are here for the first time and you're like, oh, I don't know. I feel like the Holy Spirit's talking to me. Maybe you need to make a decision for Jesus tonight, like right now. You don't need to wait till you get in your small group. You already know what the Holy Spirit's doing in your heart and mind, and you need to say to him, God, I choose you, and I will live my life for you right now. You need to do that tonight. If you did that, if you do that, then share it with your small group leader or share it with Trotter or I. Maybe you need to take God's word seriously and learn the deeper truths of the word so that you can have a greater faith. Maybe you need to do something that's going to be tough or uncomfortable and difficult for you, but God's calling you. James 1:21 is our reminder that faith requires action. So what action are you going to take to help grow in your faith? Let me pray. God, we love you. Thank you so much that you are faithful. You go before us when we need you. You are there working in our lives before we even know it. And God, all you ask is that we take steps of faith and act upon that belief and that assurance that we have in you. So Lord, I pray that our faith becomes a catalyst for change and action in our life tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.